Well, today we are beginning something that is really so very vital to the health of our church and its well-being. And I would say to all churches, but ultimately it involves the health not only of our church, but of our community. In fact, I want everyone to hear this. What we're beginning today, and I'll tell you a little bit about it in just a moment. What we're beginning today, absolutely, and I want you to really absorb this and realize this. This is coming from my heart. It's about the vision of this church. What we're doing today, what we're beginning today, is without a doubt the most important thing that we do all year long in our congregation. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, this is really important. Now say it like you really mean it to your other neighbor. Say, this is really important. Now, this is the reason that I'm asking people, and I know this is kind of new for me asking this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask people to plan their vacations around this time of year that you preserve these dates beginning, it's usually around the same time every year, because I want you involved in what we're doing. Not only do I want you involved, we need you to be involved. Now, this is the one time of year that we ask everybody in our congregation to come together for a cause, and I started to call it an event, but it is an event, but it's really a cause, and the cause is health. The cause is for the health of our own well-being and our congregation, other congregations, and for our community. How many of you want your community to be healthy? Amen. Did you know it's healthy churches that build healthy communities? Did you know it's healthy communities that build a healthy nation? How many of you would say right now America needs some health in it? How many of you would say a lot of churches in America need the health of God in them? I've got an answer for us, and I've got a way that God has given me, and it's not really new, that we really can bring some health to our own lives, spiritual health. And how many of you know if you get healthy spiritually, you will be healthy naturally? And so I'm for health, I'm for your health, I'm for my health, I'm from this church's health, and I am certainly for the health of this community and this nation. What am I talking about that is so important? I'm talking about our small group campaign. Now, for this reason, and if you've been here a while, you know that I eat, sleep, and breathe small groups. I know to some people it's a new concept, but how many of you know in the Bible it is not new at all? Small groups are not new. In fact, Jesus is the author of small groups. Jesus started with 12 disciples, in which three of those he was extremely intimate with. Jesus, the author and the one who birthed the church, started this concept, and then you see it carried on in the book of Acts and throughout history. I'm talking about small groups. I'm talking about people getting together and having real relationship in this crazy world that we live in. And so for this reason, I'm going to ask you to do three things. I'm asking this of each and every one of you. Number one, that you would make the most dedicated, serious dedication to attend the next six Sunday services that you've ever made. Because let me tell you why this is important. I'm going to tell you how to live life with purpose. Would you agree with me that people are a little bit confused about why they exist today? Would you agree with me that even Christians really are confused about what's going on in the world? We shouldn't be confused right now. We should know exactly what's going on, and we should know exactly what our purpose is, but there's a lot of confusion. I'm going to talk about things that I believe will make your life much better by knowing the purpose of God and what He has planned for you. Number two, I'm going to ask you this. If you're not in a small group, that you would be committed to one. We will help you with this process. In fact, my wife Tracy, she's more familiar with about the times and dates and locations, and she'll be right out at the board where you can get maps and all the information that you need, and she will help you. We'll try to help you find a group. We will help you find a group. But how many of you know the process is us taking that first step? I said it last week in talking about the importance of connection. Folks, listen to me. Connection does not come natural for us. Now, some people look at others and say, oh, they're having such a good time. This must come so natural for them. No, it didn't come natural for any of us. Very few of us in this room today are hearing me, some other means, does connection with other people come natural. In fact, our nature really wants to be loners. kind of do its own thing. Sure, we want a little contact, and we want a little interaction, but I'm talking about really connecting with one another in a spiritual way for a spiritual purpose. We'll help you do it. Don't go quiet on me today. See, when you go quiet, I think you didn't get it, so I just preach on that a little while. But I think you got it. Number three, I'm going to ask that you dedicate yourself to attend all six of these small group meetings. Why? Because we need to learn to be consistent. There is so much inconsistency in and out, shifting around. We need some stability, and I'm going to use an old-fashioned word that is still true today. We need some good old-fashioned commitment. Are you still with me today? And what we're going to do, we're going to learn how to live life with purpose. That's what I want. And there's not going to be any more of this aimless wandering through life. Folks, let me just go ahead and tell you, as the world gets crazier and crazier, and according to the Bible, I think we've entered into the last days. I think we're in the beginning of the birth pains that Jesus spoke of. And somebody say, what do you mean, the beginning? I think we're in the beginning. I think there's a lot more to go on in this world. And what God is wanting His people to do right now is learn to be connected now. Folks, if we wait till things just absolutely, and I'm speaking in very general terms, wait till there's a big problem or things just absolutely collapse, guess what? Then it's too late to get prepared for what God wants us to do. I believe clearly the Holy Spirit is saying, prepare now. Get ready. And a part of that is learning what it means to be in relationship one with another and learning your purpose in life. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever asked, what on earth am I here for? I have. Put another way, am I really accomplishing anything? Anybody ever ask that? You ever wondered, am I really? Now come on, let's have a little interaction today. Anybody, am I just the only weirdo here today that's ever wondered what I'm on earth for? Okay, there we go. That's a little better. I'm not weird after all. I didn't believe I was weird anyway. A little different, but maybe not. I'm not weird. Maybe you've asked this, am I making a difference with my life? I'll say it again. I've asked all of these questions. And from time to time, I have to ask myself those questions to get me where I need to go. And that's one of the reasons I like to revisit certain truths. I like to revisit the purpose of God for my life and for your life so we won't walk around this life aimlessly. Amen. How many of you are around people right now? It's just they're just in a state of confusion. They get up and they just go. And they're confused. They really don't know why they're alive. They don't know that they have any purpose. They really just kind of believe their life is one big accident. Now, I want to challenge all of us today. If you are someone who, and you're here, or however how you're hearing this, whether through the internet, on the radio, listen to me. If you know these things, then here's what you need to do. You need to position yourself to recognize you need these truths that I'm going to teach so you can properly convey them to others around us. Amen? God never wants us to develop a consumer attitude. In other words, give me what I want and what I need. God gives us things sometimes that are for other people. And so what I want to do today, I want to address these issues. In fact, that's what I'm going to do for the next 6 weeks. I'm going to be addressing the issues of purpose. Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? Do you really believe that God has a purpose for your life? I do. In fact, I don't even believe it. I know that God has a purpose for your life, has a purpose for my life and every person on the face of the earth. But I believe this, that in order to answer these questions, you have to put first things first. Everyone say, first things first. If you start in the wrong place, when you take a journey, guess what? You're going to end up in the wrong place. If you follow a wrong directive, guess what? Have you ever done that before? I'll talk about that hopefully in a little bit about one time we did that on vacation. But you have to put first things first. You and I have to start at the proper place. And this may sound simplistic to you, but I'm telling you, I've been preaching this lately, folks. Let me tell you, we are so blessed here in the Bible Belt, and particularly right here in East Texas. We are so blessed. But you take a journey just a few miles out of the little zone that we live in, and I call it the bubble, and you get outside of it and you start intermingling with people, and you realize there's a lot of philosophies that don't line up with the East Texas philosophy about life. You don't have to go very far. Go to any major city and begin to mingle with people, and you'll realize our world, and I think you know this, has changed drastically. People's thinking about God, even Jesus now, is profaned all the time on television with little jokes at all folks. Let me tell you, if you find yourself laughing at jokes about the Creator, and that is the starting place, and you find yourself laughing about jokes like that, let me just go ahead and tell you, you're in trouble. You got to start with the Creator. You got to start with God. But better yet, I want to refer to Him today as the Creator. Because now people believe there are multiple gods, and you can just get your little journey to heaven any way you want. Their faiths believe that if you murder Christians, you'll be rewarded for it. All you got to do is go out and kill people who don't believe the way you do, and then you'll make your journey to heaven. People believe all kinds of things. People believe that Buddha can get you to heaven. People believe there's all manner of way to get to God. Let me tell you, folks, and I'm going to preach with some conviction today. You must start with the Creator of the universe. That's the starting place. And I know many of you know that today. And you're saying, hello, preacher, I know that. Let me tell you, a lot of your friends do not know that. A lot of your friends do not know that God so loved this world that He sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. They don't know that. They need someone to tell them. They need someone to train them in the ways of the Lord. Here's what Deuteronomy 10 and 14 says. He says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens. I love that. Indeed, the heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth with all that is in it. Are you in the earth right now? I'm sorry. This is not politically correct. But God created the heavens. He created the farthest heavens. And He created everything in the earth. And guess what? It belongs to Him. Oh, preacher, how dare you be so old school and so old fashioned and not understand what's going on in our world and say that God owns this world and God owns me. No, I tell you who's old fashioned. I'll tell you who's old fashioned and deceived is the person that doesn't understand that. And I'm not trying to be harsh here and try to bully someone into believing, because how many of you know today, you don't bully anybody into believing anything or doing anything. People do what they want, when they want, how they want. But I do know this, there is a divine, sovereign Lord who created this earth, and it belongs to Him. I belong to Him, and you belong to Him. We may not acknowledge Him. We may refuse Him. How many of you know that? See, I'm telling you, I heard Dr. Jeremiah preaching this morning. He said, listen, when I started preaching, he said, I would never have dreamed that I would be seeing the things in America that I am seeing now and things that are being uttered about God. Our world has changed, folks. And so what am I doing? I'm calling God's people back again to acknowledge the Creator. Because folks, let me tell you something. If you don't acknowledge Him and you don't stay close to Him and you don't stay connected, let me tell you, every one of us are subject to deceiving spirits. Deceiving what? Deceiving spirits. There are no spirits in this world. Oh, yes, they are. Where do people think the spirits that Jesus cast out and we see in the New Testament, where do they think they went? Did they just suddenly... Phew. There's all kind of humanistic teachings about this. What did Jesus say in the last days? And what did He say when He was prophesying in Matthew 24, three times of all the things He said? See to it that no one deceives you. There are a lot of people being deceived right now. There are, I'm sorry, this is going to be an up message. This is going to be an up series. I have never seen so many Christians deceived, believing in philosophies and lifestyles that the Bible clearly says will only bring harm in your life. They've got this, but me and God. You know, me and God had a talk. Were you talking to God in His Word? Come on now. Were you talking to God in your word, in the Word, or were you talking to the God you created in your mind? Which God were you speaking to? Hey, there's some other gods in this world, and it's the God of this world called Satan. And he comes as an angel of light and says, oh, you poor little one, your life has been so hard. Hey, how do I know these things? Because I've heard all these voices. You poor little thing. You've been so mistreated and disliked and dishonored. You know, people just don't know what you go through. You've got this unique, difficult, hard life, and How many of you know that's a spirit of the devil? Sure, God sympathizes with our hardships and with our trials. Boy, I really feel like preaching today. One of our problems in America is we don't preach about trials anymore. We only preach the blessing. And if you start preaching about trials and tribulation and suffering for Christ, well, he ain't in the spirit anymore. Well, you better get raptured out real soon. Or learn some of these things so when they come, you don't just pass out and die. Though that might be all right. Here's what Job 41 and 11 says. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Now, folks, listen. If you create something, the smartest thing you can do, especially if it's a money venture, is to go get it patented. It belongs to you. And if you don't get it patented and someone takes your idea or your creation, let me tell you, and they go and make millions and millions of dollars, it would tend to upset you, wouldn't it? This earth belongs to God. Everybody clear on that? Everything, this earth belongs to God. He created it. We didn't just bubble up out of some yuck somewhere and evolve. I tell you, there's just certain programs and channels on TV you just need to stop watching. The minute they start talking about it took 400 million years to create this, you need to just turn it off. It took 6,000 years. It's actually, the earth has been in existence for 6,000 years, as well as the dinosaurs, beloved. 400 billion years. You want to say, you were here then? It was great, 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 great grandpa here? Were you here then? 400 billion years ago. No, we did carbon testing and all that. How many of you know they proved that is just, it just doesn't work? Folks, God created this earth, and the confusion about the creation of earth could be settled if everybody would go read Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke and there was light. He spoke and there was earth. He spoke and all these things are here because God created them approximately 6,000 years ago. I know I'm out of touch by some standards. I may be out of touch, but I'm right. I've read the book. And I've listened to all that other stuff that you have to really work and twist to get it to work. Amen? Or, oh me, no, don't amen that. Here's what Psalms 15, 12 says. This is God speaking. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Can we just give God a praise that this earth belongs to Him? And by the way, if it belongs to Him, He's going to take care of those who acknowledge Him, and He's going to provide for them and meet all their needs. Amen? That's worthy of a praise. The earth and all of its fullness did not appear out of just nothingness. There's this impatience in me that rises up. I love to watch history and I love to watch certain facts about history, but when they start talking about, you know, we just suddenly evolved. Just boom. God bless the school teachers that have to teach that mess. Did you know you can teach creation in schools now and it's legal? Did you know you can do that? Oh, I'm about to really get off track. But a lot of this stuff they've told us we can't do, and you know, we better be quiet, we'll get in trouble. Listen, it's not true. It's just not true. And I want to say this to every one of you listening because this is so important. I'm telling you, people are struggling with this today. You are not an accident. And let me just go ahead and say this. You're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. And let me just go ahead and tell you right now, it's not an accident that you are here today. It's not an accident there are people viewing this today, hearing this. It is not an accident. If the Bible is true and says God orders the steps of the righteous, you and I are exactly where we need to be. And if God's got some new marching order for us, guess what? He'll tell us about it. Now here's some facts about knowing God's purpose or God's will for your life. Listen to this. It reduces stress. Any of you would like to have less stress in your life? I've got something for you in the weeks to come. How many of you would like your decisions to be simplified? Seems like life is so complicated. How do we do this? What do we do? Let me tell you, knowing God's purpose for your life not only reduces stress, it simplifies your life. Here's what else it does. It increases your satisfaction. For those of you who have been walking with God for a while, you know as well as I do that when you are in the will of God and you do what God says to do and you yield your life to that, there is satisfaction. There's satisfaction. There is fulfillment. Beloved, listen to me. There is nothing more comforting than a clear conscience. That you didn't have to block God out when God says, son, we don't need to go there. You don't need that to make your life better. But I'm going to do it anyway, God. And I'm going to reserve this part of my life for me because I need a little bit of fulfillment. How many of you know that lie goes all the way back to the garden when the devil told Adam and Eve, said, if you'll take of this fruit, you will be better. See, God is trying to show people His purpose and His will. He's trying to bring them satisfaction. But we are buying into the lie that says, if I partake of this, or I partake of that, or I go ahead and reserve this part of my life, I am going to be better. Let me tell you something, folks. The flesh wants instant gratification. You need to listen to me right now. Your flesh wants what it wants right now. Is there any immediate gratification in some of these things? Oh, absolutely. The Bible even tells you that sin is fun and enjoyable and fulfilling for a season. The only problem, the devil doesn't tell you what's at the end of the road. He doesn't bother to tell you the harm that it is doing to your body. You may look great on the outside, but he didn't bother to tell you what it's doing to you. All these things that we're taking into our bodies, all these things we're viewing, all these things we're doing that we really deep down know we shouldn't. God wants us to have satisfaction. There's satisfaction in getting up in the morning and being able to say, praise the Lord, I love you, with a clear conscience and not shame where you got to say, God, I know you want me to do this, but, and working through that shame and dealing with all the stuff that comes with it. That is not living and that is not satisfaction and it's not fulfillment. But the hard part for people today, and I think it includes a whole lot more people than we'd care to believe, is people are feeling the pain and the pinch that's in this world. And I'm going to tell you, I just read the latest study, and I will move on after this. People are doing everything they can now to mask the pain. Let me just tell you what God says to you today. Listen to me, every one of you. And I'm telling you, if you'll receive it, I'm telling you, you can be instantly set free right now in this service. You don't need those things that you think you need to mask the pain of life. You need the grace of God. You need fresh anointing on your life. You need the blessing of God. You need the Word of God. More than anything, you need to know your purpose in life. Because if you know your purpose, let me tell you something, life is a whole lot better. Can I hear an amen today? Amen. Now, before we talk about the purpose of life, there are some things that we must realize. Here's what Proverbs 11:28 says out of the Message Bible. It says, a life devoted to things is a dead life. Now, folks, let's be honest. You know when you're doing things that's causing death in your life. You come on. God, under the new covenant, said everybody's going to know my laws. You know what your conscience is for? Your conscience is there to say, this is not good and it's not healthy for you. It's like a dead stump. It's like a dead life. It's a stump. This is what God said. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. I want to flourish. I want to flourish now like I've never flourished before. And I know that is true of every one of you who are hearing me today. And I believe the key is discovering God's purpose for your life. Here's what Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8 said from the New Living Translation. It says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They're like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. How many of you know, even in a bad economy, those who will do what God says and will attach themselves to Him and to His will flourish. Amen. We are going to flourish in these days ahead, though naturally they may get worse. That is if we acknowledge the Lord and if we trust in Him. It's so true. We're going to flourish and we're going to keep bearing fruit. But beloved, it all starts with God. It starts with God. This seems so elementary. But let me tell you, in our minds, again, I want to just say this again so you get it. When we say this is so elementary, I got it. What we fail to understand as Christians is that it's not about me and it's not about you as much as it is about the people around us who do not know these things. It's not about my own personal fulfillment. Do you know that? I don't want to hurt your feeling right now, but it's not about your career. It's not about my career. Let me just say, if it's about careers, I would have done some other things a long time ago. It's not even about your wildest dreams and your ambitions. It's real quiet now. You know why? We are brainwashed in America to believe that it's all about us. And let me tell you, the church is not exempt from it. You know when you develop an American consumer attitude, when something's going on and you don't like it, I don't like that. I don't want any of that. You are a consumer. And you've really bought into the American consumerism. It's not about me. It's not about my own comfort. It's not about what I want. It is about God and His purpose for my life and what He has planned for this world. Can you shout amen this morning? Amen. See, if you and I want to know why we're placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You must. Colossians 1 and 16 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Are you hearing what I'm saying today or what the Word is saying? Listen to this. All things were created through Him and for Him. Now, folks, I don't know how people are processing this thing called the last days, but you know, just kind of sweeping it under the rug and not ever talking about the last days in the church or talking about all that, it really isn't going to accomplish anything. But let me tell you what's going to happen to mankind. What the Bible clearly states in the last days that will be the primary characteristic of mankind. It says, through Paul, he says, they will be lovers of selves. Number two, and oh, how we love to shroud this one in provision. It says they'll be lovers of money. Let me tell you, you know why America is in the mess right now and why Europe is in a mess, why westernized nations are in the mess they're in right now? It's because, listen, I love you, and I never intend on preaching like this, and I get up here and the Lord starts putting it in my heart. It's greed. It's greed. Oh, Pastor, I am not a greedy person. I just need provision. Greed is the characteristic that we're seeing right now. Greed. Greed. My dream. My purpose. My job. My money. Listen, folks. Matthew 6:33. Here's your job assignment. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, and Jesus made a distinction between the people of God and those who are not His people, who refuse Him and reject Him. He said, if you will do that, the believer, not the unbeliever, the believer, if you will put My kingdom first and learn My ways and My laws and My principles, and you will put those in action first, everything you need will be added to you. Not so with the unbeliever, He said. Not so with the Gentile, meaning those who don't believe in Me. Not so. They do not have the promises we have. But we have a God who says, if you'll put Me first and have a relationship with Me and let Me fulfill My purpose for your life through Me, I'll give you everything you need. And let me tell you, God is a generous God, folks. I have found He is extremely generous. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you things. But He also wants you to be right with Him and be content when things might not be going exactly how you want them. You know, the search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. But the problem is this. We typically began at the wrong starting place. You know what it is? I've already stated. Ourselves. That's where we start. Ourselves. See, another problem is we ask self-centered questions. Here's what we ask. What do I want to be. You want to know why the younger generations are so confused right now? They bought into this thing called the dream, the American dream and all that, and they are absolutely confused right now and unmotivated and don't have a lot of get up and go. It's true. What I want to be. What? Here's another. It sounds so good, doesn't it? What should I do with my life? What are my goals? What are my ambitions? What are my dreams for my future? Beloved, let me just tell you, focusing on ourselves will never reveal life's purpose for us. It won't do it. It's the wrong starting place. And contrary to all these books, these popular books, and these movies, and these seminars, you and I will not find the meaning of life by looking within ourselves. Only the Creator knows what His purpose for us is individually and corporately. He is the only one that really knows it. I know you stand up in your workplace or with your friends and you tell them this. I know the heat that you feel. I feel that heat sometimes when I'm preaching. Yeah, oh really, preacher? Oh really? Let me show you otherwise. Oh really? Huh? Well, I don't think so. I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe God created this earth approximately 6,000 years ago. And He did it in 6 24-hour days. And I like this too. He took one day off. Hello, America! Take a day off. Oh, I do on Sundays. We need to be connected. Now, years ago when I would say something about being connected and being in church on Sunday, I would get scolded by someone and they would always say, Pastor, don't you realize that there are people who have to work on Sundays? No, I'm stupid. Don't you know that nurses and doctors have to be available? No, I didn't know that. Duh, thank you for the revelation. Don't you know there are police officers who have to protect us and guard us from the criminal? No, it's a revelation. Wow. I really want to preach on this one, but I shall not. I'm really not trying to be funny, folks. I'm really just trying to share with what God's putting on my heart. You see, only the Creator or the owner's manual could reveal our purpose. God didn't leave us alone. Say, okay, now I'm creating you, and I hope you can make it, and I hope you can please me. You know, try if you can. I doubt you're going to be able to please me. I doubt it. But I'm creating you. I'm giving you this free will. And I just hope to goodness you'd make it. And if not, I'll just be through with you at some point. No. He created us. He knows the plan. And He gave us the owner's manual. I just get so bored reading the Word. It's just boring to me. You might ought to get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit so this thing will come alive. My God, I'm reading Ezekiel right now, and I'm getting enjoyment out of reading Ezekiel. It just confirms what some of you think. I've gone crazy. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been lost and didn't know how to get to your destination? Have you ever been there? Come on, guys. Come on, let's be real. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story in a moment here before they had GPS. I still don't use it. All these different mapping things you can use. I still sometimes, I just don't want to punch in the addresses. I don't want to look at a map. I just want to go. Is that not true, honey? I said, oh, we can do it here. No, let's leave the gadgets and the technology alone. Let's just go. And then look up and say, where are we? I don't know. Do you know where we're at? Yeah, I know where we're at. We just go up here and take a right and take a left, and then we'll be back where we need to be. Have any of you ever asked that? And on a serious note, have you ever asked that spiritually? I know the answer. People are asking that right now in the recesses of their heart. They're asking all these questions that I brought up. Am I making any difference? Am I an accident? People by the millions around the world are asking that question. One time our family took a vacation, which we always try to take an annual vacation. We always tried to do that with our kids. And we had some really good, fun, enjoyable vacations. We learned if you'll save for them starting the year after the day after the vacation, start again for the next year, you can do it. And we were able to do it. And we've taken some great vacations, but I'll never forget this one. We were going into Colorado and some other areas. Let me tell you, if you've never been to Colorado, it's absolutely gorgeous and it is beautiful. And that we were old school in it then. We didn't have, you know, you couldn't just punch it in on your iPhone or your iPad or your smartphone. You couldn't punch all those things. You didn't have a little GPS sitting up there. And we didn't even have a cell phone then. I don't even know how popular cell phones were then. Why didn't we invest in cell phones when they started? I knew the day I bought a cell phone that I needed to invest in cell phones. I could be a multimillionaire right now. We're going along, going down this beautiful country and seeing wildlife, and we're in our little family minivan, and everybody's in their little family seat sipping their little whatever, the little fruit punch or whatever you do, the little things you poke the little straw in and the cookies, and we're just having this great time. And all of a sudden, I said, honey, you better check that map again. This was one occasion we looked at the map. The road starts it starts kind of turning into dirt all of a sudden. We go off the gravel, and all of a sudden, we're on dirt. And we keep going, and we look, and we said, yeah. We turn there, and we turn there, and we turn there. This must be it. It must be just a little bad spot. We kept going, and the next thing we knew, we were on this sandy road it was an absolute pray through miracle that we got through this journey on this little road. And once we got through there, we knew that we could not turn around then, because I thought if we ever go through that sandy road again, we are going to get lost. And then I knew we were in real trouble when all of a sudden we came to this fence. And I don't remember what it says. I don't know, beware of firearms or something. You're entering so-and-so shotgun ranch or something. And I thought, we're in trouble. And I remembered all the roads we prayed through and got through, and we all decided, it looks like on the map that we're almost through this place. So y'all pray and hold on, and if you hear any shooting, just duck. Well, let me tell you, we made it through that, but I don't recommend in taking this road. In fact, I think we named this road. I asked Tracy this morning. We named that road, the kids and everybody, we had a unanimous vote. We called it Hell Road number 256 or something up in Colorado. Folks, let me just tell you, when you're on a journey and the map, the little road thing is solid, and all of a sudden it goes to dotted lines, don't go down that road. But you know what? We laugh, folks. Let me tell you what people are doing right now. They're going out on the outskirts trying to find some relief. They're trying to find purpose. And they're going down all kinds of dotted roads that we know are not good for us. And they don't know where they're going. And I'm telling you what can happen to every one of us. Christians, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. We can get out there in the middle of the wilderness, and the next thing we know, we are lost. And all kinds of bad things can happen out in the wilderness. That is the reason I am calling to everyone who has an ear to hear. God has a purpose for your life, and it involves connection, and it calls getting committed to other Christians and standing by them and letting them stand by you in this thing called life. I don't want to go down any more dotted roads, and I don't want to do that spiritually. And we're all tempted at various times in our lives to go down those dotted roads. Folks, did you know you can become a raving success by the world's standards and still miss the purpose for which God created you? Listen, I don't want to preach all day, but somehow or another we think a financial success equates favor with God. I want every one of you to succeed, because the kingdom of God needs money. And it needs wealthy people giving of tithes and offerings. It needs people who are not wealthy, who have a little bit. It takes all of us. I want you to prosper. But let me tell you, you can become a raving success and miss the purpose and the will of God for you. We need more than self-help advice. Listen to this verse and let it ring true in your spirit. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever desires to save his life," this is Jesus, "will lose it." Whoever desires to save his life. That's what people do when they say, "Don't give me that God stuff. Don't give me that connection stuff. Don't press on me, preacher. Don't get too close to me." You know what you're doing? You're trying to save your life. And I'm telling you what Jesus, the Master Creator, said. He said, "You're going to lose it. You're going to lose it." People are losing their lives right now because they're trying to reserve them and they're trying to save them. And let me tell you, when you hear a word from God, whether it's through the preacher or through your Bible, and you ignore it, let me tell you what you have to do. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice to either do what God is saying do or ignore Him. And let me tell you what happens. The danger is you harden your heart. And in Hebrews it says, don't harden your heart. Children of Israel provoked God because He'd tell them what to do and they wouldn't listen. God's got a plan for you and God's got a purpose. And I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, it involves connection with other believers. He says this, the rest of the verse, "Whoever loves his life for my sake will find it." So you got to decide, am I going to believe Jesus? And am I going to believe the Creator? Or I'm going to believe my own mind and my own intellect and my own abilities? I choose to believe God. Now, this is not going to be a self-help sermon series, but it is going to be about helping us discover the true meaning of life. And it's going to be about discovering God's plan for your life. I want you to listen to this, and I'm almost through today, but I want you to listen. Dr. Hugh Moorhead, a philosophy professor at Northeastern Illinois University, once wrote to 250 of the best-known philosophers and scientists and writers and intellectuals in the world, asking them, what is the meaning of life? And then he published their response in a book. Some offered their best guesses. Some admitted that they had just made up the purpose of life. And others were honest enough to say, we're clueless. In fact, a number of famous intellectuals asked Professor Moorhead to write back and tell them if he had discovered the purpose, or when he'd tell them if he discovered the purpose of life. The intellectuals, trying to find life. Did you know there is an alternative, folks? It's called a revelation from God. I have been given by God a revelation about His purpose for our lives. And not to oversimplify it, the purpose of God for your life is to learn Him and have a relationship with Him. But it cannot stop there. It must involve other people. What did He say when they came and said, how do you get to God? How do you fulfill all God wants you to do? He said, you first love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I'm renewing that commitment in my heart. And He said, you love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds easy, doesn't it? I just think I'll love God. I think I'll just love people. Well, there's a lot of challenges in doing that. Some offered their best guess about what life is. Let me close with this verse. And again, this is from the Message Bible. It says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are. It's Ephesians 1:11. And he goes on to say, and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. Had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. God has a glorious design for every one of us. Are the young people hearing me today? What we're going to do in these next 40 days is we're going to embark on a journey to discover God's purpose. And the journey that He has for us. Oh, I hope you will be here. I don't want to do this alone. I want to do that with all of you. And I want to encourage those of you joining us by the internet and on radio. You join in with us. You discover God's purpose for your life as well. Can we say amen? How many of you want God's purpose in your life? I want to pray for you now. How many of you just open your heart up to the Lord and say, Lord, come on, let's stand up this morning. I want your purpose. And I want your plan. And I just sense that some of you have been crying out while I've been preaching. Say, Lord, I want that again. I want to do that. Maybe you've been making correction changes. I mean, you know, every now and then, I love the voice of MapQuest, or not MapQuest, but some of those others that have the voice. And it's always a lady's voice. Have you noticed that? You know why they use ladies' voices? They're more pleasing. Men, well, just turn around here, dummy. A woman, you have made a wrong turn. We are now processing to find a better route for you, or however they say it. Make a left turn at the next corner on the second beep, 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 however they do it. How many of you are familiar with those? They come in handy. They do. If you keep them updated. What do you say we all just make sure we're on course right now? And secondly, what do you think about us just saying, hey, I'm going to block the problems of this world out, and I'm going to say that I'm here to help others find God. What do you say about that? What do you say we renew and commit to do that again? Can I pray for you right now? Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, for everyone in the sound of my voice. Father, there are irritations that develop in our lives. Father, there are frustrations. There are discouragements that develop in our lives that, Lord, sometimes keep us off track or get us off track. On these next 40 days, I ask you, Lord, to help every one of us, Lord, make that commitment to be here and to be a part of a small group. Father, I pray any fears that anyone has about being a part of a small group, Lord, you'll just banish that in their hearts. And they'll say, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says do. And the rest of my life will work out, Lord. Father, as we start and we embark on these 40 days, I'm asking you to do miracles. I'm asking you to set people free. I'm asking you to help people who have never had relationships. I'm asking you to help people who have addictions, Lord, that supernaturally during these 40 days, Lord, addictions are going to be broken. And that new bonds and new relationships are going to develop. And we're going to strengthen and encourage one another for these next 40 days. In Jesus' name. Why don't we give God a praise?